The Gemara tells us that yayin from goyim is asur to drink, and is asur behanah. And what emerges over the course of the Gemara is that there are two separate, distinct reasons why yayin, wine from goyim, has these yisurim. The first reason appears already on Daf Chav Tes Amud Aleph, right after the Mishnah, because there's a Hekesh, we learn, from Kodshim, to Egla Arufa, to Mace, to Tikroves Avodah Zarah, to Yayin Shenisnasich, that just like Kodshim are Asurim Behana, one can't even derive benefit from them, so too, Yayin Nesech, wine that was poured as a libation to an Avodah Zarah, is Asur Behana. That's one reason. It's probably maybe even Deraisa. And the second reason, the Gemara later on in the Parak tells us, is because Chazal made a Gzeira Mishum Benoiseyem. They were afraid that if people became too friendly with Goyim, so that would lead to intermarriage. So therefore, they made a Gzeira that people can't drink wine that belongs to Goyim, that comes from Goyim. That way you're not going to sit down at a wine party with them, and you're not going to end up making a shidduch with them. So that's the second reason. And the Rishonim ask two kashas that are very similar to one another about the necessity of two separate, independent reasons, or gzeros, to forbid yayin from goyim. The first nusach that this kasha takes is, aren't these two gzeros redundant? Isn't there has to be some area which is covered by each one that the other one doesn't cover? The gzeros are redundant, so what we need to do is we need to find, as in a Venn diagram, the area that's not covered by the overlapping circles, and a little bit of an area which is covered only by the one gzeira of Mishum Noyein Nesech, the Hekesh, the Kodshim, that it's Asar Behana, and a little area which is covered only by the other gzeira of Mishum Benoseyem, which is not covered by the Hekesh, the Kodshim. That's the first Nusach of the Kasha. What areas are covered by each gzeira alone, but not covered by both of them at once? The second nusach, though, is a lot stronger. And that's a nusach which I think is brought down by the Ran. The first one, I think, is Tosfos. And it basically asks the kasha as follows. It says, given that you have the one gzeira, what motivated Chazal to make the other gzeira? Given, let's say, that Yein Nesech is Asur Midyaraisa, why did Chazal get up and legislate and enact another Takana Mishum Benoseyem? Like, Lechora, they need to have a very strong motivation in order to make this Gzeira. And, you know, even if they added on a little bit, a tiny area, which is not covered by the original gzeira of Yein Nesech, but is that tiny area enough to justify the effort that Chazal expended in enacting this new gzeira? And the same the other way, if you were to understand, let's say that Yein Nesech, efshar, that part of it is a gzeira, so once they were already gozer, Mishum Benoseyem, so why, what motivated them, what pressing need drove them to make another gzeira of Nesech also? That's a nusach of the Ran's kasha. Tosfos and the Ran both, you know, give what seems to be the same answer, or a very similar answer. And they explain that there's areas which are covered by one gzeira and not covered by the other gzeira. So, for example, says the Ran, the Isser of Yin Nesach only applies to wine, which we know for certain was brought to an Avodah Zarah. But if there's only a Safik whether the wine was brought to Avodah Zarah or not, so then it's not Bechlal Yin Nesach. And using the principles of resolving uncertainty, Klalei Hachras HaSfeikos in Chazal, we would determine that any wine which is unknown, whose status is unknown, we don't know whether it was Nesach or not, that any such wine would be Mutter. Why? Because, first of all, it's a miut of wine which is Nesach. Rov wine is not necessarily Nesach. And furthermore, we have a klal that when Goyim sell us something that belongs to them, so chances are that they're not selling something which is a tekroves. They're not selling something which was used for ceremonial purposes, because once they use it for ceremonial purposes, it takes on, in their eyes, a certain degree of sanctity, and in their eyes, it's not something that they would want to part with in the course of an ordinary business transaction. So that's why the Gemara says that there's no chashash of nevad, that if you buy an animal from a goy, you don't have to worry that that animal is muktzah or nevad, that the goy made the animal into an avodah zarah, because, says the Gemara, if they had made it into an avodah zarah, they would never be selling it to us. Because once they imbue it with some sort of a religious or occult significance, so they're no longer willing to part with it in the course of regular mekach u'memkar. It's very similar to halachos that we have, Maseches Megillah, that once we're ma'ala something bakodesh, once we're makdish something, let's say, to be the paruches of a Sefer Torah or something like that, it can't be sold ordinarily. Kodshim can't be sold in the marketplace. The basic idea, once something becomes a religious artifact, so it's not really subject to regular commerce and trading. So the Goyim also have such a principle. And therefore, says Chazal, if they're willing to sell it to you, then chances are that it's not a religious artifact. So if they're willing to sell you wine, there's a very strong chance that that wine is not Nesach. So therefore, Chazal needed the extra takana of Mishum Binoseihem, that we shouldn't come to Shiduchim, in order to cover all of those stam wines which are not known with certainty to have been Yin Nesach, that even those wines are Asr Mishum Binoseihem. And if all we had was the Gzira of Mishum Binoseihem, says the Ran, so then all we would know is that it's Asr Bishtia, because the whole idea is you shouldn't come to have a wine party with a guy. So any type of, anything which would lead you to having a wine party is usher. So you can't drink wine that belongs to a guy. Once you can't drink their wine, you're for sure not going to have a wine party with them, because, you bring your wine, he brings his wine, it's not a party anymore. Part of a party is the host's generosity towards his guests. That's part of the whole experience of a party. So therefore, they needed the takana of Yin Nesach to tell us that all wine from Goyim, even Stam Yinam, is Asr Behana. Now, the question is, which of these two Gzeros is the primary one? Two separate Gzeros, which of them is primary? So Tosfos and the Ran here both say that the Gzera of Yin Nesach is the primary, or the Isra of Yin Nesach is primary. And the way that we see that is because even stam yenam, even wine which is alpi klalei hachras hasfikos, even wine which is not nesach, because there's a chazaka that they would never sell us wine which was used in a religious ceremony, and even that wine is asur behana. The gzeira mishum benosein would only be sufficient to asur mishum Bishatiyah, you can only asr it to drink. The fact that it's Asr Bahana shows us that the Gzeira bin Usayim is simply a sub paragraph of of the Isser of Nesach. So we just expanded the Isser of Yin Nesach a little bit to prevent, you know, to prevent this issue of Binoseihem, but it's not a totally new Takana. So a quick nafkamina of this, which is discussed by the Ran, is the following. The Gemara later on has a discussion about wine which is mixed up with spices, which is called Anumlin. Anumlin is wine which is mixed with spices. And the question is, and Gemara deals with whether or not that type of wine is subject to the Isser of Yayin Megule, of wine which is out overnight, where we're worried for Sakana that a snake drank from it. But the Gemara doesn't discuss what the status of such wine is, Legabe Yein Nesach. The Yerushalmi brings down a machlokes about whether this Anumlin, wine which is mixed up with, let's say, pilpulin, with poppy seeds, and honey, whether such wine is subject to Yein Nesach, or whether it's not subject to Yein Nesach. So there's a machlokes Rishonim. The Haskama in general is that it's not subject to Yein Nesach, but there's a machlokes about why. The Ran says it's not subject to Yein Nesach because such wine, by virtue of the fact that its taste is so radically different from the taste of ordinary wine, that it can't even be considered wine anymore. It's a totally new type of beverage. And this other this new beverage called Anumlin, which is a mixture of wine and poppy seeds, is not something which Goyim use in religious ceremonies at all. They only use wine, they don't use Anumlin. Anumlin is totally new. It's not wine with a little, you know, extra taste in it, it's a new beverage. But, and therefore the Ran says, it has to have sufficient additives, sufficient, you know, poppy seeds in it to radically alter its taste from the taste of ordinary wine. In contrast, the Rambam brings down from the Gaonim Ma'arav, the Gaonim of the West, that the reason it's mutter is because it's usur for us to bring such wine on the Mizbeach. It's pasul l'nesachim on the Mizbeach. And therefore, he says, it's not subject to the prohibition of Yein Nesach. So the Ran has a couple of kashas on the Gaonim Ma'arav that are brought down in the Rambam. And one of his kashas are, he says, even if such wine is mutter mishum Yein Nesach, because it can't become Nesach because it's eno ra'oi agabi Mizbeach, but it still should be usur mishum Binoseihem. And to that, says the Ran, that kasha may not be so bothersome, because Binoseihem maybe is only an extension of the prohibition of Yein Nesach, and therefore species or types of wine which are not included in the original Gzeira are also not going to be included in the Gzeira Mishum Binoseihem, because Binoseihem is just an expansion of Yein Nesach to cases of Safik Nesach, even when there's very strong Klali Hachras Hasfekos that tell us that it's really not Nesach. So he said, no, we're Choshish to treat it as if it is Nesach. But a category or a type of wine which is not subject to Nesach can never be Mishum Binoseihem. So this is where the difference between Tosfos Nosach and the Ran's Nosach comes into play. Because if the Kasha was simply, what's the difference between the two Gzeros, then you could have said, very simple, a wine which is not Royal Mizbeach and is not part of Nesach is not covered by the Isser of Yein Nesach, but it still is covered by the by Binoseihem. And you would never be able to say, oh, because Binoseihem is just a subcategory or an expansion of Nesach, so therefore it's limited in scope. The only way that we can say this is if the kasha is, what motivated Chazal to make a new Gzeira? To that we can say that they wouldn't have been motivated, and they indeed were not motivated to make a new Gzeira just for this Anumlin. We're not going to make a new Gzeira Mishum Binoseihem just to cover this tiny extra category of wine that's mixed up with a miut of spices whose taste has not changed radically, because it's not Royal Mizbeach, so it's not Bechal Nesach. It's not worth making a whole new Gzeira just for that. The only thing that justifies making a new Gzeira is to cover all of those cases of Sfeikos, where the Klalei HaSfeikos tell us that the guy Taka was not menasech this wine, such as any wine that he's willing to sell us, because Mistama, he wouldn't sell it to us if it's a religious artifact. That's something to cover that wide, broad category of wines which are permitted under the Isser of Nesach. That's something which motivated Chazal to go through the effort of making a new Takana Mishum Binoseihem. But once we're discussing only the motivation and not simply the differences, we can say that they were motivated motivated to expand the Esser of Nesach, and that these other categories, which are small enough that it did not motivate Chazal to make a new Gzeirah, may not even be covered under the Gzeirah Mishum Ben Oseyim.